Matty Fresh on the track up his state. And I'm bringing to you live my boys Alec and Nate, Tequila Ty, Jay Nelly, and Zillin in the building. So kick it back, pour the drink. We chillin' because I'm boozing and bettin' and ballin' like I'm 2-6 in the blue kicks. Watch me move quick. Yeah, this the blueprint. So who's getting involved? Welcome into the show. This is Booze, Bets, and Ball, baby.
And welcome back to Booze, Bets, and Ball, a Penn State football podcast brought to you by Big Banter Sports. And Nate and Tyler are here, like half of Penn State's team in the Peach Bowl. Nelly opted out of this one, but
yeah, that was pretty good.
We're here to talk about that, I guess, and a couple other things. But Penn State loses the Peach Bowl last weekend, 38-25 to Ole Miss. A game that was honestly pretty close in the first half, and then half of Penn State defense kind of packed it in for the day, and it got pretty ugly. Nate, you and I talked about on the preview, we were worried about the cornerbacks not playing. Neither of them played, and the secondary, the young secondary, got torn to shreds pretty bad in this one, with Jackson Dart going for 379 and three touchdowns. So it was pretty ugly. It was first time this year I was dissatisfied with the defense, but I think we kind of expected that. But it was honestly worse than I could have imagined.
Yeah, and what we also talked about, there would be a shootout because the offense would handle the Ole Miss defense, and that didn't really happen either. But, you know, like watching that game in person, you see Cam Miller is kind of running pretty well with Trey Harris, and Jackson Dart is just like dropping balls over over the quarterback's head. Like, and then the tight end is making one-handed catches all day long and stuff. Like, that is a passing game that Penn State wishes they had, I think, as much as anything. So, like, while I don't think it would have been that bad if it was Kalen King, Johnny Dixon playing the whole time, it also, like, that's just an exceptional team to go against when you're limited by your starting two cornerbacks being gone.
Yeah, I mean, they did all they could.
Yeah, there were a few times when there was like a coverages for 30, 40 yard game.
Yeah, but that, I mean,
stuff is very frustrating.
But a lot of those catches are just so demoralizing to a team when Dart makes a fucking hell of a throw, or Press Corn makes a one handed snag left and right. So it's just, I don't know. We were overmatched, yes, on Saturday. So,
yeah. The best Penn State play in the first half was a like flip that got tipped, and Tyler Ward one-handed and somehow made like 70 yards, right? Like,
that was honestly the most impressive play of the season, though. Like, that was a really damn good play, and for him to run that far as a tight end, like, that was pretty impressive, honestly. But yeah, the passing game was pretty much Tyler Ward and Nick Singleton up until the last drive, when Harrison Wallace made some noise. But Warren goes 5 for 127 with the 75 yard long, and then Singleton 4 for 86 and a touchdown. And then after that, it's not a lot. Like, Theo Johnson 2 for 16 and a touchdown. Liam Clifford 3 for 25. Did Keandre Lambert Smith play? I don't. Dante Cephas didn't play. We know that.
Yeah, KLS played a little bit.
Yeah, just not good. Defense, I mean, like, some guys look good. Like, Kevin Winston looked good. I think he's going to have a good year next year. But for the most part, it's hard to put anything good in on the defense in this one. But, I mean, I guess it was expected. I don't know.
Awesome until he got hurt. Like, he was having, yeah, you know, I think we were talking about him being Micah Parsons Cotton Bowl level, and then he got rolled up on or whatever. But the safeties are going to be fine next year. The linebackers are going to be fine. The defensive line is going to be really good, probably are good enough. We'll see in the corners how they do.
But hey, it's Penn State football, 10-2. Here we come.
Yeah, we'll see. So this was the first time that Penn State under Franklin reached 10 wins and didn't get to 11 then. 2016, they obviously won the Big Ten championship, and every other year they've gone to 10 wins, they've won the bowl game. So this was the first time they did not do that, which it's a little interesting. But I wanted to get your guys' thoughts now on Franklin. I know I tweeted this, but 10 years in, a lot of good.
Most opt-outs, too, we've had in a bowl game like this, too. So
I mean,
I don't want to blame him, and I don't want to give him excuses, but right, Fiesta Bowl with Washington, the whole team basically played. Saquon was the only one that really sat out significant time, and he still broke a 92-yard touchdown.
Yeah.
Cotton Bowl, I don't really know of anyone that opted out. Rose Bowl last year was JPJ, but we played the whole second half of the year without him because of his injury. So, mm-hmm. I mean, this is the first time we had to play a significant bowl game where you could really feel the impact of missing guys out there.
Yeah, the Outback Bowl a couple of years ago was a disaster, but that was the Outback Bowl, and that team was 7-5.
At that point, I mean, we didn't even give a fuck. So
yeah, but this do I keep skipping on you? I'm sorry. But it's because I have my phone Wi-Fi on. Probably it takes away from my laptop. But outside of the Outback Bowl, this was by far the worst. And this game obviously meant more than that game. And you know, I don't know. I kind of wanted to win this game, I guess, for a couple reasons. The burner account thing with Lane Kiffin was kind of funny, kind of crazy that they had to make a Penn State burner account and put fake quotes in players' mouths about Ole Miss players to get their players pissed off. A little funny, a little weird. I don't know. I was like 50-50 on that. And then just the fact that they could have been the first program to win all six New Year's Six Bowls. I know in the playoff era, that's not overly impressive anymore, but I still thought it would have been a cool feat. So those are kind of the two reasons I wanted to win the game, obviously, but it is what it is, I guess, when you know that many guys are protecting their draft stock.
I paid like a couple $1,000 to go to Atlanta and watch that. So yeah, I wanted them to win too.
But, I forgot you were there. Yeah, that's right.
But
it makes you feel better, Nate. I threw a $100 bet at halftime and I was blackout drunk, so I didn't remember until the next day.
It's just one of those things like where I don't know. There's been a lot of talk on Twitter about should they announce the opt-out sooner so people have a better idea both on betting and traveling and stuff. And that's one that I think, like, selfishly, I would like to see more transparency there, but I fully understand why they don't do it, too. Yeah. Right? I don't think you can be expected. And shit, we talked 2 weeks ago that we knew Kalen King and Johnny Dixon were going to be out, right, and CHOP. So I guess you figure the rest of them would miss some amount of time, too. But
I think you're right, though. There's got to be more, like, transparency there in some way. So, I mean, it sucks watching some team play a whole season and then you don't watch that team in the bowl game. And I mean, at some point, like, you got to see some repercussions from like the Bulls or,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know who it comes from, but it just sucks seeing guys sit out these type of games. I know there's nothing on the line really, but I mean, play the fucking game.
It was something too, because Franklin, like, they were talking when Adisa declared or whatever. He's like, oh, you know, we're going to finish this, start what you finish. And Franklin's talking about how that's the culture that they built and stuff. And it turned out to.
It wasn't. I mean, nobody.
So that's a little bit concerning in and of itself that he would talk like that and then have it not come to pass the way he discussed it.
Especially with the whole Johnny Dixon thing too, where it seems like he kind of just left without saying anything. So
yeah. Who had the quote after where they're like, "We expected those guys to play"? Was it Franklin?
I didn't see that quote.
Someone said like after the game, like, "We took these guys through bowl prep, like, and stuff, and thought they would play." And then, like,
that's the case, too. That's a really shitty culture that maybe, honestly, might be in a whole indictment on this whole season with the whole receiver room not buying in and all this other stuff. Where if guys are going through these practices and, oh, I'm going to play 50%, I'm going to play 75%, and then they go out there and play two series.
Yeah.
And that could kind of throw a whole whirlwind. And again, you don't want to make excuses, but.
Yeah, it's going to take me forever to try to find this if I do. But, you know, that kind of brought up a point I think we made in the season preview where it was like, where's the leadership coming from this year when you had Clifford, Jair Brown, PJ Mustafa, you know, to a lesser extent, like Parker Washington and Joey Porter. Like, it never really, no one took over, it seemed, this year. You know, we talk about how Drew is a quiet kid and Singleton and Allen don't really talk and Olu's a quieter guy. And, you know, the defense, like, CHOP star, but he was also a transfer, you know, like that kind of stuff. Like, and like Carter's a younger guy.
Also a quiet side too that didn't really hang out with the team much, it seemed like.
Yeah. So I, you know, we talked about that being a problem, and I honestly think it came true. And it hit itself throughout the regular season because they were either more talented than the teams they beat or they were less talented than the teams they lost to. But here you kind of had a game where it, on paper, was kind of equally matched and didn't really come together. And I think this first time it took till the end of the season, but you actually saw it then where the problem was.
Yeah, and it's becoming more glaring after the game too. The wide receiver room, with you have people calling out via tweet, quarterbacks, offensive coordinators, other wide receivers, etc. You have
the fans are Jerry Sandusky supporters.
Yeah, there's a lot of problems right now. Yeah, I think in that room, and probably it extends beyond that too. And the one thing though, like, yeah, Aller is a quiet kid and he's younger and stuff, but at least after the games, whenever there's a loss, he at least takes accountability for it and says it's on him and whatever. And then a lot of it is, frankly. But you don't see that out of many others on this team when they get interviewed. And that's a major problem. And that starts, frankly, at the top too. Like, Franklin has to be.
Yeah. You don't really see it from Franklin either.
Never. Right. Like, you know, he, like, his job should be to be the face of the program, to recruit kids, and then take all the blame when shit goes wrong and give all the credit when stuff goes right. And that's, and then like work with the university relations, and that's pretty much it. And NIL. And he doesn't do the one part that's very important.
So. Yeah.
Well, that kind of leads in to what I was going to say earlier. And then we got back on the bowl tangent, but it's 10 years now in the books. What are they? 88 and 36 or something like that. It's a 69 point something win percentage. They have the 5-10 win seasons. They won 3 New Year's Six bowls. They won the Big Ten once, but they're 4-16 against Ohio State and Michigan, and the record against ranked teams, I think, is 12-26. So, 10 years in, like, where are you guys on this? Because I think you look at the job he did, like, right when the sanctions, like, right when he got here with the sanctions, and you think, wow, that's by year three that you won the Big Ten, beat Ohio State. That's really impressive, but honestly, the next year you probably should have been playing in the national championship and you weren't, because you blew an 18 point lead and you lost to a team that won like 7 games. And then, like, you know, it started to spiral from there, and they never got even back to where they were in 2016, I guess, let alone above it. So I don't know where you guys are at. I think they've done a lot of good things, but to me, it just kind of feels like it's falling flat now. Like, this is what it is.
I mean, you got to give them credit. I mean, he came in with a very tough situation, arguably the toughest situation you can walk into as a college coach in the history of the game. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could be wrong. I'm a little young here, but I think it's probably the toughest thing you could have walked into as a head coach. And of course, he got us to where we're at now, which at 95% of the programs in the country, people are going to be happy with. It's just, you kind of give us that tease, and we're Penn State, where we kind of expect higher. And he can't go over the hump. And he's had these talks of, in 2018, we're going to go from great to elite. And it's just, you're not seeing it actively happen. And I know there's a lot of things he's made up with, and the off the field, getting more buy-in from donors, and new AD now they're supporting him more. It's just, I don't know. Yeah, I feel like we have the right to be disappointed, but you also got to give him credit for what he has done.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair take. And like, coming from where he did in 2014, 2015 to winning the Big Ten in 2016 is tremendous. I think right now it's on the precipice of, like, there's an inflection point here where it's either going to go really well with the coordinators that he has and the talent that he has, or it's going to spiral into a complete disaster. And it'll depend on how they respond to that loss, what the culture actually is on the team, with kind of being disciplined and showing up and learning and getting better and better and better. And, you know, I think they have a chance to be successful, but they have a chance to really let this thing go to hell too.
Yeah. To me, it's kind of like a double-edged sword, because you're like, oh, like, we have all these near misses where if we do this one or two things a season, like, you're in the playoff, you might win the national championship, win the Big Ten. And everyone like, well, blame Franklin for why those things didn't happen. But at the same time, he's also the reason you're even in that position where you're one or two things away from being there. So like, it's a really hard spot, because, and we talked about this, you could be like Georgia, where Mark Richt was kind of Franklin, and then all of a sudden, boom, you have Kirby Smart, and it's two straight natties, you know, however many 10 win seasons they have in a row now. Or it's like Auburn, and you go through four coaches and whatever it was, 10 years, and, you know, you're just now starting to feel good about yourself after 4 years after removing the guy that won the national championship for you or whatever. So I don't know. There's two ways to go about it. I think right now, with the 12-team playoff, probably stay as it is, because I mean, they'd have five playoff appearances under him if it was 12 teams the entire time. So I think you just give him a little more time. I'm not saying a lot, like maybe 2 or 3 years before you have to think about this. But I think that that's where I'm at. It's like you're kind of in a gray area, and you just have to put up with it until it becomes a little more black and white.
So that thing too about the playoff, like, okay, so you make the 12 team playoff, and that is
win a
like,
game. Then I think,
yeah, like, that's the thing. Like, you're still gonna still lose, right? Potentially, like this year they would have played Ohio State and conceivably lost again. Mm-hmm. I'd have to go back and see who they would have played in years past, but maybe they would have won 2017. They would have won a game, right? Or 2019?
I think they would 2017. I think they would have won 2 or 3. Yeah,
yeah, because maybe it was a fluke that they lost to Ohio State. So, so maybe that's if that's the case, and you get unlucky and you lose games and miss the 14 playoff, but could have made up for it in the 12 team, and we'll see how that comes to pass. But at the same time, like just making the playoff now that it's expanded without additional success on top of that is hollow, right? It doesn't mean anything. Mm-hmm. Now, like we talked about this specifically before too, and like what does Pat Kraft do with like what's his incentive to fire Franklin and move on? You're guaranteed 12 or 10 wins or 9 wins or whatever. That's pretty good. Like Tyler said, you're in the top 5% basically year over year. They had the second highest graduation rate in the Big Ten, I think, for football. So, like, he's doing those things the right way. Kids aren't getting in trouble. Like,
yeah.
Does he want to invest and start over and, like, risk all of that stability? And that I'd argue probably not too, right, because it's not in his best interest. I don't think his goal is not to win a football national championship. His goal is to make the best overall athletic program that he can. So,
yeah. It's a tough spot to be in. I mean, kind of take your wins, I guess. Only one team can win the national title every year. So,
yeah, I think the playoff unfortunately has kind of like tainted that mindset where in the past, if you made like a New Year's Six game, it almost was like winning the national championship. And if you made a bowl game like in the level of the Outback or the Alamo or the Holiday, like you felt like you had a really good season too. And just I know it was different, like 2014 when they freaking came back in the Pinstripe Bowl and went on that walk-off extra point or whatever, like that felt like winning like the Big Ten almost at the time, just because of how much, you know, shit had gone on here. But now it's just like those things feel so watered down, and the 12 teams only going to water it down more because all the New Year's Six bowls are in the playoff now. So it's pretty much if you don't make the playoff, your season really, really sucks because you can't even get a New Year's Six victory out of it.
Then you're playing in the Alamo Bowl, and that's as good as you can do.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Really quick, Julian Fleming finally committed to Penn State. Kind of felt like this one was coming when he didn't visit any other schools after all those rumors came out about him visiting Penn State and being on campus and all that.
He got a Raptor from the state college, like four dealers.
Yeah, Blaise Alexander, yeah. And, you know, Matt Levine was all over it. He had the story first, you know.
Broke it first, yeah.
Yeah, the P-man scouter, you know how he is. I
think Nate said it perfectly, though, in our chat about Fleming today. I think it was you, Nate. So if I get this wrong,
this is my thing on him. Yeah. I don't care.
To that room that needs it critically is invaluable.
Yeah.
I don't care if he's good or not. Like, he comes in and he's disciplined and he works his ass off and he shows leadership and he teaches those guys what Ohio State room is like and how they work. That's worth, I'll buy him a fucking Raptor for that.
Yeah. Anyone who spent 4 years with Brian Hartline does not suck and is not an idiot and doesn't know what they're doing. I mean, maybe he was limited physically compared to the freaking 6 first round picks he played with. Okay. Like, I know he was the highest ranked guy out of that entire room, but it happens, I guess. Like, it doesn't mean he's a bad player. I just think he played with generational players and it got him passed up and he dealt with some injuries. I don't think he's a surefire, like, Jahan Dotson number one. No, but if he gives you something like Parker Washington or Mitchell Tinsley did for some of those years, I think everyone would take that because it's honestly a huge upgrade over the shit we saw with, no offense, like Liam Clifford being a starting receiver here.
Yeah.
But I think also for the fact that he was in that starting, like that number three, number four role for a consistent 3 years there, I think, like, that shows you he has the talent. I mean, he was dealing with injuries. He was dealing with a ton of talented guys, and he was still fighting and earning reps in that room. So we're being naive to say that he's not as talented as, I mean, sure, he might not be the number three player in the country from his class. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's still going to be a very solid receiver here. He's going to get the looks. He's going to get, as long as he gets the chemistry down with Drew, brings that leadership, and then also rubs that mentality onto the other rooms or other guys in the room. Like, we're being naive too to say that there's no talent in that room. They're just all immature, like little kids right now, and they need to get that discipline in them, get that mentality, and hopefully he brings that, like Nate was saying.
I think you're right too about that. Like, he can elevate those guys a lot, right? Like, because if you look at the based on stars, what's in the room now is better than it was in 2016 and 2015 and 2017. Like, every year basically it's gotten better and better, but the play has diminished, especially this year. So he can help fix that. You don't want to put too much pressure on him, but
it's kind of, and he's the exact type of receiver too we were all saying we needed before this year started, and we were kind of hoping we were getting with Malik McClain. But he's that big bodied, can go up and make a contested play. He's going to catch the ball in traffic.
One block, right?
Like, one block down the field for us. And everyone's saying too, like, that's part of the reason our, some of our runs in spring. Yeah. You see just KLS just dancing on the sideline with some guy and not finishing a block. And he holds a block for another second or two. Singleton might have like 480 yard runs this year. So,
yeah. Yeah. I think that's, he is going to help the run game too. And obviously, with the new offense coming in, it's a valuable asset to have, honestly. So, because if they want to become run first team anyway, having a receiver that actually gives a shit to block does matter. So,
absolutely.
All right. Well, I guess we'll see what other portal news happens. Doesn't look like anything's going to change with Penn State staff unless dudes from like Washington or Michigan get hired away and somehow they end up there. So, it should be done there. So, we'll come back, I guess, whenever there's any crazy portal news or anything, which might be this weekend from what it sounds like. So,
never know with the staff too. Well, we had a couple late fires and hires last year, so
yeah
it was this time last year when Higgins
Stubblefield
Well, Higgins didn't come till what, like February, right? Late February, I thought.
It was Martin Luther King weekend about, because I was in Pennsylvania, I remember, like, so next week
or but something. John Scott didn't leave till February or March, and so we had to hire Deion Barnes right before spring ball. So.
Yeah, that's the time
change. Don't cross
if anyone mind. Goes to the NFL, yeah, it will be later.
And we don't want Deion Barnes to go to the NFL.
Yeah, no, not at all.
Keep him.
Yeah. Unless you guys got anything else, that's going to do it for this one. Didn't want to harp on that meaningless bowl game too much. Don't want to go over 5 minutes talking about it, but inside joke, I guess. But yeah, that's all I got, unless you guys got something else. I'm good with this one, and ready to put the 2023 disappointment behind us.
All right, 24, here we come. Oh,
all right,
national title,
12 team playoff, which means it's here we go, 9-3.
I'll come up to the playoff game next year in Beaver Creek Stadium.
All right, well, I doubt they'll be ranked that high to have the home game.
But whoa.
I hate optimistic season.
All right, fine. You're
23 out.
Fine. All right, we'll be optimistic about it. They'll be the seven seed. That's a home game, I think. I
love that.
Yeah, I think 5, 6, 7, 8 are the home seed. They're. All right, so they'll be the seven seed, and we'll talk later when something fun happens, I guess.
All right.